Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet.
Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a peach.
Hello, managers, and welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast show. We are recording this on Tuesday, October the 31st. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who ain't afraid of no ghosts. Happy Halloween, Andrew. How's it been?
Good, man. Good. Happy Halloween to you too.
Ooh.
It's been better FPL-wise, but what are you going to do?
Well, we're going to drown our sorrows in chocolate.
100%, yeah. My son has an entire bucket full of Halloween chocolate, so I'm sure he won't notice if I steal a bit.
Yeah, I snatched one of my daughter's Mars bars. We went trick or treating before with our neighbor and their kids, and there was one house they just had like all the lollies out in the bowl, and I swear like one of the boys just like took like a whole fistful of blood, like literally emptied out the whole bowl. Like, you just got to take one, dude. He's like, no.
There's always one kid that just takes the whole bowl, isn't there?
Always one. And yeah, there's always one person in FPL that gets all the points too. And yeah, they weren't in my team this week. How about yours?
No, they definitely weren't in my team.
Do you want to talk about your team first or mine? Because we both did just as bad as each other.
I think we literally got the same score, didn't we?
We did 60. And I was really surprised when you told me that you got 60 because I know that you're Captain Sulla, and I just automatically thought that you're going to have a really good game week.
Yeah, no, I didn't. All right, I'll go through my team. So, yes, I only got 60 points, which I think was like a 7 million game week rank or something like that. What do I get? So, 3 points from Areola and then 2 from Zuma. So, double West Ham defense didn't really come through.
No.
5 points from Cash, 0 pointer from Burn, 2 from Bowen, 6 from Madison, 2 from Atoma. So another couple of blanks in the midfield there. 6 from Saka, Salah captain, 2 from Watkins, another blank there, and then 16 from Haaland. So
yeah,
added up to 60. I guess the big thing that hurt me was no Sun. This week, and then like a few other players kind of chipped away at the rank a little bit. Players like Mbeumo and I don't even know who else would have. It just seemed like there was a whole bunch of players that just hurt me a little bit, but it was really Sun that did most of the damage. And I've got no one to blame but myself because I took Sun out myself last week. So
who'd be silly enough to do that? As definitely I point me to myself.
Yeah. All right. Well,
this guy.
How did you get 60 points? Where did your 60 come from?
All right. Yeah, my 60 points. So, yeah, like you, Areola. We love that save point. So, 3 points there. Trippier, Donut, Pedro Porro, 2 points. And, oh, man, was I annoyed when Spurs conceded. What was that, 94th minute? Jordan Ayew scored that goal. Maybe with the assistance of his hand. I don't know. I thought they had a really good look at it, and I thought they were going to overrule it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought once they were looking at it for that long,
yeah,
I mean, I thought they'd convinced themselves that there was a touch.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Did you think there was a touch?
I mean, it sort of does roll down his arm, but whether or not it was, you know, defining enough, who knows? But I mean, to me, it looked like a handball, but oh,
yeah, I think it probably was. I think it probably was a handball, but. I guess if they weren't 100% sure after that many replays, I guess that's why they let it stand. But I'm sure that it would have been a lot more controversial if Spurs didn't win anyway.
Yes, true. But Pedro Porro, 2 points. The Polish Cafu made a cash with 5, so that was good. We got a bit lucky there that he got substituted just before they conceded. So very nice because, he would have just been on 1 point. So because he copped a yellow card. But unfortunately, Luis Diaz in my side, who was automatically substituted for Charlie Taylor from Burnley. So, bench, if ever there was a week I needed some absolute plum jam off my bench, yeah, my shitty defender scoring worldie in that week, honestly, I'm very, very lucky with those 6 points there. But, yeah, Madison with the assist there for the own goal. And, yeah, Matoma was my transfer in this week for Heung-min Son. So I really wanted to target these Brighton fixtures and also planning to get Salah back into my side. Part of that was having to downgrade the cash from Heung-min Son. Yeah. So that was the transfer I made. And, yeah, Saka, a very fortunate assist for the 6 points. But considering I'm literally scraping down the back of the couch looking for points, I take it.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about getting those assist points, but I literally just don't understand. Like,
yeah.
They don't usually give those as assists. I'm not sure why they decided that one was.
Yeah. And I was ranting to you, like, how do we get that as a Saka assist? But then last season, when Isak dribbles down the whole wing of the field, cuts in, puts in a delicious cross for a goal, that's not determined as an assist because it came off a defender. I don't understand it.
It makes no sense. I honestly think it was just them throwing a bone to all of Saka's owners this week. It was like, it's 5-0. We've got to give him something.
Okay. Well, yeah, we take that. But yeah, I had Darwin in my side for 10 points. Darwin's actually been really good. Actually, I've since I brought him in on my wild card, that's actually been probably the only good thing to happen to my side. Haaland, 16 points, who crucified me this game week. And my captain was Ollie Watkins for 4 points. So a bad week to have a captaincy blank. So I'm pretty lucky. Like, I got 60 points, but that's with my captain blanking. So had I actually nailed a captain pick, it would have been a much better game week. I probably would have been close to a green arrow, but
if Watkins makes that big chance from a cash assist.
Oh my God.
How many points is that worth? That's worth a lot.
I don't want
to
think about it.
That's a green arrow right there.
That's my green arrow. But we talked last week about Haaland and how he's, you know, in the past when there's been weeks where we've gone against the Perba captain and that guy's always hold it. It's always against Man United. When will we learn our lessons? Like,
I don't know. It's weird. Like after deadline, I was thinking about it and I just realized that I was so certain that Haaland was going to score like a massive haul. And I was like, why didn't I just captain Haaland? I don't know why I didn't. I guess pre-deadline, I was just so confident in some of the other players. But yeah, I mean, it was just inevitable that Haaland was going to do what he did, wasn't it?
And we talked about how bad that United defense was and who was going to be lining up. But I thought Varane would actually play. So when I saw his name on the bench, I could not believe that Ten Hag actually made a conscious decision to go, no, Varane, I know you've got like 400 trophies at Real Madrid, but I'm going to go with Johnny Evans, who's literally just here as a work experience training code.
And they asked him why, and he just said tactical.
Oh my God.
And something tells me that he's not telling us the full truth about that.
No, not at all. But I mean, very unlucky that when I wildcarded, I was going with the differential that rather than just having one Liverpool attacking asset in Salah, I could go two with Luis Diaz and Darwin. Now, unfortunately, Luis Diaz did not play on the weekend due to those terrible circumstances with his parents being kidnapped. But in all my years of FPL, like, I've had a lot of like random things happen, but a player not playing because his parents have been kidnapped, I think is, I don't think anything's going to top that.
That takes the cake. That's bigger than, you know, like COVID call-offs after deadline.
I couldn't believe it. When I saw the news on Sunday morning, I was just like, just the way my season's going, like, of course. And I was chatting to you on, when was it? Because we had an early deadline because the game's kicked off Saturday morning. And I was talking to you Friday night saying, I'm really tempted to just do all my three transfers now and take a -4 hit to get Salah into captain him. And I even woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I was like, I was thinking about it, I was stewing over it. And I was just like, nah, stick to your guns, Pete. Like, you know, back yourself. And I remember last season I took Salah out before he played Man United and he absolutely crucified me. I'm like, nah, I was determined. I was going to give it one more week. But yep. Yeah, I should have just taken a hit and done the captaincy.
When you woke up at 3 a.m., that was probably just the moment that Luis Diaz's parents were being kidnapped and just something was sending you that message. So yeah, that was sending you the message that you should have made those transfers, but you weren't to know.
But I mean, yeah, we didn't find out till Sunday morning, which is, no. I mean, I don't know when. Well, actually, no, they said because Diaz traveled with the team and he had to leave the team hotel. So, yeah, must have happened. It must have just happened. The night, or early hours, on game day. So,
yeah,
terrible. It was still not too sure on the situation there, but hopefully everything turns out okay for him. But yeah, that was my week, 60 points, but a pretty terrible week, terrible season. Yep. So I don't even know where are you ranked at the moment?
So I went from 380k to 583. So I dropped about 200k.
Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, it's not great, but at least I'm still sort of, I don't think it's a terrible rank for this time of the season. It doesn't feel great to drop 200k in a week, but I'm still within touching distance of a decent rank. So I just need one or two more good weeks, and I can hopefully still fix that as quick as I can.
Yeah,
but yeah, I wasn't in hindsight, I definitely shouldn't have made the transfers I made. I took out Sun, same as yourself. To bring in Saka. And I used a second transfer to bring in Bowen. I went from Richarlison to Bowen. I was so confident in Bowen and he just did absolutely nothing. I think I couldn't think of another way to get Saka. I wanted Saka. I suppose I could have gone, if I'd gone down a bit lower instead of Bowen, gone for someone like Diaby, it obviously would have been way better because I wouldn't have had to get rid of Son. I could have maybe waited for Saka until after the Newcastle game. But
on paper, it made sense.
It's all hindsight stuff. Yeah, it is. But it didn't feel good when the first when Son hauled in the first game of the game week after I'd just taken him out.
Yeah. In the exact same situation. I was like, did I make the wrong mistake? I think I did. Can I get my wildcard back?
it was like that the Arrested Development meme with Job saying, I've made a huge mistake. That was us.
Anyway, because we are ill-prepared for tonight's episode, fair to say, because I have been knocking down my kitchen all day today, and the next game week is approaching. Let's just get straight into previewing game week 11 because fair to say that game week 10 has kicked us in the bollocks, and I really don't want to look backwards. It's all about forwards, Andrew.
That's always, like I said last week, looking forwards, never back.
That's right. But I'm just lining it up now. The clock's changed in the UK. So we're at that terrible time where the early game is 11:30 at night Saturday.
There are no early games anymore.
The early games are done. So it's a 10 p.m. FPL deadline. Oh, my God, that feels so late. But kicking things off, Fulham, Man United. I don't know which one is the disaster club out of these two, but from an FPL aspect, if you're still holding United assets, do you just go, one more week? But surely you just want to flip them by now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you've got to go with that kind of focus on your weakest link philosophy at this stage of the season. So if you have...
did last week with Heung-min Son.
Yeah. Look, I think... It's hard to justify now that we've done it and it hasn't worked out. But I think in game week 10, it was that, it was a big wild card week.
Yeah.
So it felt like a week where you wanted to kind of realign your team with the new template as opposed to just chip away at your squad by focusing on the weakest link. But obviously that didn't work out. And I definitely should have I definitely should. If I'd just gone, okay, my weakest link is Richarlison, who can I get? I probably would have gone Diaby and it would have worked out much better. But, you know, I didn't. So, but this week, if you do have a couple of Manchester United assets, I would definitely think it's time to get rid of one of them. Even if you've just got one, it might be time for them to go.
Yeah.
You just can't keep waiting for them, even though their fixtures are pretty good coming up. Like, how long can you just wait for them to turn it around?
Yeah. It is a real tricky one, but yeah, it feels like a flat fixture to start off the game week. I mean, especially because, I mean, personally, I won't have any assets in this game, so.
Yeah, I think if you'd asked people at the start of the season whether that would be like a big FPL kind of fixture or not, you'd think that it would be because,
yeah,
you know, this is from game week 11 onwards is when Manchester United have another little run of three or four really good fixtures, and we would have thought we'd be targeting their assets, but it's just not going to be the case. But yeah, like I think I mentioned last week, though, I think Manchester United are a little bit, when they're doing badly, they are a little bit better away from home because they don't have that pressure of the crowd being on their back at Old Trafford. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put in a better performance against Fulham than they did last week.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But then the 2 a.m. fixtures. So the first one we've got here is Brentford West Ham. So Brentford on the back of another win at Stamford Bridge the other day, and Mbeumo doing what Mbeumo does best: injury time, yeah, goal, and an assist from the heavens.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought Mbeumo was done,
yeah,
at least for a little while as a fantasy asset. Turned out he never left.
Nah, he's actually picked up. He's hit an extra gear. And when Morpay was running into that wide open goal at the end of that game, like, this is a guy that hasn't scored a goal like forever. I think he scored one game in his whole stint at Everton last season. And that's like, just take the shot, dude. Like, he must have Mbeumo in his fantasy side. Like,
yeah, he went full Chilwell reason. With that one, didn't he?
Oh my god! And the funny thing was, like, he was already on a yellow card before he even stepped onto the pitch because he copped a yellow card for sort of kicking the ball away when he was warming up on the side of the field.
Oh really? I didn't even know that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Conor Gallagher was waiting to take a free kick, and, you know, Morpay sort of like doing his stretches on the side, and he purposely like knocked the ball away. So, yeah, Morpay, ultimate shithousery there. But West Ham hitting a few hurdles at the moment. You know, I know you doubled up on West Ham. You nearly tripled up. Actually, you tripled up
I
on
did
a march
triple up.
Up
on West Ham.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of us got Areolas in goals. And, I mean, we're probably all expecting a cheeky win over Everton, but yeah, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I was expecting a clean sheet against Everton. It was one of the reasons why I went the double defense. I thought that, yeah, that was a pretty good fixture. I was expecting a lot more from Bowen as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's been pretty reliable this season. I haven't given up on him after just, you know, one game, but I'm not feeling like this probably is one of the trickier fixtures. So, you know, having blanked against Everton, looking at this away game to Brentford doesn't look great when you've got triple West Ham. But I think I might have to bench the cat kicker this week.
Oh, sorry, Zane, but you are a Bowen owner, and we turned the phrase that the you're a boner last week.
I am.
#I am a boner.
Bowen owners. I'm not sure that one's going to take off, Pete.
#Hashtag boners.
Yeah, I am a boner. We'll see. I don't know. Like, I still think he's a great asset.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He could so easily score against Brentford. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Then we got Burnley Crystal Palace. So, yeah, Roy's boys losing the Spurs and yeah, Burnley. It hasn't been the best of seasons for Burnley. They're finding it really hard in the league at the moment.
Yeah, but I think this is a real opportunity for them.
I think so, you know, too. Like,
I really think that this is one that they'll target and they'll say, look, you know, this is, they'll circle this fixture as one where they feel like they can get 3 points.
Yeah.
So I think they'll go for it this week. And Palace, well, still no Eze, still no Elise. you know, I'm not sure where their goals. Well, I was going to say I'm not sure where their goals are going to come from, but against Burnley, most teams figure out a way to score a couple of one or two goals at least.
Yeah, but yeah, when they, I think they were a little bit unlucky the other day against Bournemouth. But yeah, I mean, that's another side that was absolutely desperate for points there. But yeah, Everton Brighton. So now this is a tasty game. We got our Matoma. We need Brighton to start kicking. But Everton on a bit of a resurgence at the moment, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin looking like the Dominic Calvert-Lewin of old. Like, he looked absolutely unbeatable the other night.
Yeah, Everton are like sneaky good at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, just you know, classic Brexit Dyche, just grinding clean shit. Like Pickford just trolling all the owners that sold him on their wild cards recently, just picking up clean sheets and he's talking trash out on the field and getting his saves on.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, sort of Brighton have hit a bit of a rough patch themselves, and it doesn't really look like as good of a fixture for Brighton as it did when we looked at it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, if you're heading into this game week now, you'd probably think twice about getting a Brighton asset.
Yeah, like absolutely. I was just saying, I was pretty surprised to see them only manage, you know, a point at home to Fulham last week.
A very pink kit Fulham. But I mean, Polina should have been sent off like right at the start of that game. And then for him to get the equaliser was, rubbing salt into the wound.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, having said that, you would, regardless, 11 on 11, you would expect, you know, Brighton to comfortably win that game. So yeah, it is a bit of a surprise that the way that Brighton are going at the moment. And again, like another one of the assets that we've got in Matoma maybe doesn't look as good now as he did a week or two ago.
Yeah, well, hopefully the FPL landscape can change in that sense. But one of the real like alarm games for this one is Man City Bournemouth. And there are a lot of managers out there that sold Haaland recently. This is the game where you need to be hiding under your couch, because the Nordic meat shield is back. 4 goals in his last 2 games in all comps. He was unbeatable against Man United the other day in the derby. Yeah, he's just scary, absolutely scary. Would send shivers down my spine if I didn't have him.
Yeah, for sure. I can see this one being like 6-0. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Bournemouth are fairly terrible. Like they're pretty poxy this season. But yeah, if City really want to make a statement, and Pep made an interesting sort of comment in his post match presser where he said City are playing better now than they were at this time last season, and this time last season they were stuttering quite a bit. Arsenal got off to the great start. But City sort of took a while to get going. And I know it's funny to say, but City are almost going under the radar this season just because they're just so consistent. Like, maybe we're just so used to it. Like, we just know they win, but we don't really realize how good they are, because they actually have to do that every week because everyone's trying to catch up to them. But yeah, I think this could be one of those games that's, could be disastrous for Bournemouth.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think sometimes we underestimate how good City are, and we expect them to win every game so comfortably that if they go on a run where they're winning only by 1 goal, you know, most weeks, maybe 2 goals, we almost, in our mind, we mentally treat them like they're having a rough patch of form, when actually Rice's they're just club. they're actually just still like winning every week, which is absolutely fine. So, yeah. But this week is one where I don't think there's any concerns that they're only going to win by a small margin. Like, I can't see anything less than like a 3 or 4 goal win.
And it's, I mean, I know like many managers out there like recently sold a lot of their City assets, probably when they're wildcarding. But yeah, heading into this fixture, man, I wish I had 2 or 3 City players in my side.
100%. This is the week. This is the week where you just want to load up. But yeah. Yeah, it's really tricky because their fixtures, you know, they're just not that great afterwards, are they?
No,
they're away to Chelsea in game week 12, and then who have they got after that?
We say they're not great, but City are the danger side in every game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They are. No, I had a mental blank, but I knew they had a tough fixture after that. They got Liverpool the week after that. So yeah. I think it's really hard to load up with three City assets when you know that they've got a couple of rough fixtures afterwards. But as you say, there's really no such thing as a bad fixture for City.
Yeah. And then Sheffield United Wolves, well, every fixture is a tough fixture for Sheffield United this season. I think they've officially got off to like the worst start in Premier League history. And like you said before we started recording, like how is Heckingbottom still in a job after 5-0? Yeah.
I know. And at the start of the season when we did our predictions pod, I had him as the first manager to be sacked. And now
he's doing his best.
He's doing his best. But I feel like if he hasn't been sacked now, then maybe they just never will. So I'm feeling worse and worse about my pick.
Maybe the finances of Sheffield United are so bad they actually can't afford like the payout. And they've already resigned themselves to the fact they're getting relegated. So they're like, look, let's just save ourselves a couple million bucks.
Yeah. Honestly, like that could well be what it is.
But, Wolves, a good 2-2 draw against Newcastle the other day in the pouring rain. And bad news for Neto owners, though, after he picked up an injury. I think he did his hamstring, so he's going to be out for quite a while, which is terrible news for him and also FPL owners because he's just been consistently ticking over every week. Like, he's not explosive, but he's just picking up regular returns and at that enabling price as well, as found his way into a lot of managers' teams.
Yeah, I mean, he's so important to that team.
Yeah.
And they've been doing really well recently. It's really disappointing to see that happen to him because it's going to have a massive impact on the whole team.
Yeah.
Do we know yet how long he's going to be out for?
I haven't heard yet how long.
No. Well, I think if there's one team that they don't need him for, it's Sheffield United.
Yeah.
But it might be game week 12 onwards that they really start to struggle.
Yeah. And then Newcastle Arsenal, a big heavyweight clash there. And yeah, this game's going to be interesting. And we saw Nketiah with his first Premier League hat trick the other day in that 5-0 demolition job against Sheffield United. But ooh, a tough prospect for Newcastle here.
Yeah. What a hat trick it was, too.
Oh, my God, the third goal was amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. Why is it that we didn't consider Nketiah? Like, it seems like we had a bit of a blind spot with him. I guess there was no real concrete news on Jesus, was
there?
Yeah.
Well, like, Jesus picked up the injury, and then apparently, that should have been the alarm bells ringing because Arteta said, or maybe Gabriel Jesus said, I can't remember, that it wasn't actually that bad. It was more like just a precautionary thing. And then we find out he's going to be missing a few games now. So, Nketiah was the pick.
Yeah, he was. He was the pick. And neither of us had him for our like goodwill punting.
No, of course not. Why would we do that?
We only pick players that blank for that.
Goodwill blanking.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that probably is this Newcastle-Arsenal game. It probably is one of the, if not the, game of the weekend. So you know, in a way, like the clock's changing for us, might be to our advantage because I'd rather wake up at 4:30 for Newcastle versus Arsenal than stay up late for Fulham versus Man United.
True, that's actually a good point. Yeah,
yeah,
I could see myself doing that too. But before we went to air, you were telling me some news about Sven Botman.
Oh yeah, I think. Fresh off the press, I think Ben Dinnery just tweeted out that he has.
No,
had
you're
a
supposed
bit of
to say my sources have confirmed.
My sources, who is also the same as everyone else's sources, on Twitter X has said that he's apparently had another setback or he's had a bit of a setback and he's not expected back until after the international break, the next international break. So. My Jamal Lascelles pick is looking better and better.
Although he was very lucky, very fortunate to stay on the field against Wolves because he should have been sent off.
You think everyone should have been sent off, Pete? That's what you always say. He was
The only chance I have of catching you is if all your players get sent off.
Yeah, true. His zero pointer was very secure first on my bench. So if any of my other players had some random, you know, emergency and they missed out, I would have got a nice little zero pointer from him first off the bench.
But he's there.
He's ready for next week.
Now, Forest host Aston Villa, and I wonder if Matt Turner will be in goals again after he went walkabout against Liverpool and one of those really weird moments during the season where, you know, he came right out of his box to claim the ball and then just jumps up. It looked like he was going to punch it. And then he realized, oh no, I'm about like 40 yards out of goals. I can't actually use my hands and just tuck my hands in and let Mo Salah just run on through my goals.
I think in that split second, he probably wanted to punch it and then thought, well, hang on, that's a red card. And then I'll get suspended for next week and then I'll never get my place back. At least if I let it go, I might get one more chance next week. So that's what he's decided to do. He's decided to give all of us Salah captain as a little break, and he's decided not to punch it, which is good.
That's like 40.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. But this will be a tough game for Forest up against Villa. So two former European heavyweights here.
True.
In this game, but Ollie Watkins, he's, you know, I think it's only his second blank of the season last week in the week that I captained him, so very fortunate for that. You know, it takes real skill to captain someone who blanks only once or twice a season, so yeah,
especially
home to Luton
when they score at least three goals at home every single time. Yeah, so, make it make sense, Peter.
No, I can't make sense. I actually just had to laugh. Especially when I saw that miss that Matty Cash teed him up. But hopefully the returns are coming for us Watkins owners.
Yeah, I mean, this season they haven't been great away from home, but they seem to have kind of put that behind them last week when they had that really big away win in Europe.
Yeah.
That was away from home, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably the best they've played away from home all season. So hopefully they can continue that against Forest.
Yeah, let's see. And then another big one here is Luton against Liverpool. And Liverpool scoring goals at ease this season. So this all signs point to a big Liverpool win here.
Yep, and another Salah at least goal, but probably another Salah brace.
I saw something on X today that was highlighting how bad Luton are on their right-hand side, that I think 18 or 19 of the 20 goals that they've conceded this season have all come from the right side, which is Mo Salah's side. Something for us to ponder heading into this game week with captaincy.
Are you pondering a cheeky Salah captain?
He's in my side now.
Yeah, well, spoiler. Come on.
Spoiler alert.
I was going to say you're thinking of bringing him in this week, aren't you?
No, I went full tilt on Monday. I went full tilt. I'm like, I had two free transfers. I'm just like, I'm doing it. Trippier out. Who else did I take out? Oh, yeah, Luis Diaz, of course. Luis Diaz out. And, Salah and Tsimikas, which is what I was planning to do anyway. So I just
did it. Were you planning on doing it on Monday?
I probably wasn't planning on doing it on Monday, but I was definitely planning on doing it. But I'd seen on Monday that like both looked like their prices were going to go up. And even though I had some wiggle room in the budget, I just thought, I'm just going to do it now. Like, just get it out of the way. So it's done.
Yeah. We've got the midweek games this week are like
League Cup.
They're League Cup, aren't they?
Yeah.
And normally you don't worry too much about the League Cup because, you know, the team's going to rotate. However, I seem to remember the last round of League Cup was when we had a whole raft of injuries.
It was. It was disastrous.
We kind of escaped the international break where you expect to get the injuries. And then in the League Cup week, we just got a whole ton. So that's the only thing that worried me. And that's why I haven't made an early transfer myself.
Well, Liverpool will be traveling to Bournemouth for their game. So we'll see who takes part of that. But yeah, I'd be expecting Salah to have a bit of a rest there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That's my thing. But West Ham play Arsenal. That's an interesting game, actually, in the League Cup. So, and Man United host Newcastle.
Didn't Newcastle beat Man City last time, didn't they? And they've got Man United this time.
Yeah, they got Man United. So
yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway,
tough draw
indeed. But yeah, definitely one for Salah owners to think about for that Luton game, because yeah, that could be raining down on points. And then yeah, to finish it off, a London derby Tuesday morning for us here, 7 a.m. So Spurs Chelsea. Oh, and it's a public holiday here next Tuesday too for Melbourne Cup Day. So great way to start
not
a public holiday
am,
seeing Chelsea lose.
Yeah, it's not a public holiday for me, but anyway.
We
can't all live in Victoria and just get public holidays every 3 weeks or
for every sporting event.
Yeah, correct. But yeah, I mean, I was pretty high on Chelsea until the whole Brentford debacle. I thought they were really doing a lot better and turning it around, but away to Spurs.
Danger signs.
Yeah, yeah. I think Spurs just probably just going to keep on rolling. I don't think it's going to be like a blowout. You know, I'm expecting kind of like a 2-0, 2-1 kind of result, but I think Spurs will probably get that one.
Yeah, and the way Chelsea play, like trying to hold possession and play so far up the pitch, it's a really good game if you're a Heung-min Son owner, because there's going to be a lot of space for him in there. And we've seen players like Maddison.
I was literally going to ask you that. Is this another bad game for us not to have Son?
Yeah, it really is.
I knew the answer before I asked it.
Yeah, no, it's a massive danger game. So, I'm a little bit worried about that one. But I think Reece James might be back for that, like in the 11 for that game. So the last few games he's come off the bench. I'm interested to see what he does against Blackburn in the League Cup. Maybe he gets a few more minutes, but yeah, he's probably close to getting back into that 11 there.
Yeah, which is obviously very big for Chelsea. He's just about their best player, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. When he's on the pitch, absolutely. But that's the fixtures we've got for game week 11. So yeah, make sure, as I said, at the top of that, FPL deadline here in Australia or on the Eastern Seaboard is 10 p.m. But now what we'll do is we will head into goodwill punting. Now, last week, Andrew, you went with... Who'd you go with last week?
Someone bad. Let me think. It was... Oh, that's right. It was Solanke.
Ah, oh, Solanke. Solanke, yes. So blanky.
Yes. Solanke was so blanky last week. So just the 2 points. Yeah, no good. That's a bust.
Yes. And yeah, you had it written down here on the rundown sheet that you had Solanke, but for some reason I was reading that as Dominic Szoboszlai. And I was like, no, I know you definitely didn't have Szoboszlai last week.
No, it wasn't Szoboszlai.
Eyes are deceiving me.
I definitely would have been better off if I'd gone with Szoboszlai.
Yeah, 2 assists I think he had, so.
Yeah, I think he didn't he get. I think he got a double figure haul, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He must have got the bonus, and yeah.
What
about yourself? You got. Oh, that's right. You went for
Adingra. Yes, Adingra. Adin nothing. 2 points.
Yeah, so, fair enough. All right.
Bad picks, but it's all about game week 11. So, who have you picked out of the Goodwill punting hat this game week?
I was a little bit disappointed this week because I wanted to go for Doku and then you wouldn't let me.
Only because I've chosen him before.
Apparently it's a breach of FPL SideNet rules. Rules are rules. I respect that. So I have, at the last minute, I've changed my pick. I've gone for big Johnny McGinn. Mm. Bit of a shout out to Quentin from Amateurs of Oz. He brought Johnny McGinn to my attention a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't realize how well he was going. And then in the 2 weeks since, he's, you know, returned every week. I think he's returned 3 out of the last 4 weeks. And he's only scored 4 less points on the season than Matty Cash, who pretty much everyone owns. So yeah, he's only 5.5 million. So he kind of fits into that bracket of, you know, the enabler, like he, you know, he's someone that you could go to from Neto, for example, if you've got Neto, who's now out with a hamstring injury. You know, a couple of options would be go like Anthony Gordon, but John McGinn also would be a pretty decent option to go to. He's only 0.7% owned, so he's real, like a legitimate differential. And yeah, he's doing really well this year. He's absolutely killing it. So, yeah, John McGinn, he's my guy. Away to Forest this week.
I really like it. Good punt. And he scored in the last international break too for Scotland. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's either him or Scott McTominay, isn't it, that scored for Scotland? Those are the two options.
Absolutely. There are the only two options that I really like that pick. I'm going with Wolves midfielder Hwang Hee-chan, or I think Pep called him the South Korean a few weeks ago. So, yeah, he's having, you know, a low-key amazing season. So he's already got 6 goals, 1 assist this season, and really ticking over. So he scored against Newcastle, but I just wonder if the supply line might dry up a bit without Neto there, because they've linked up so well this season.
Yeah, that's the concern, isn't it?
That is the concern.
Neto has assisted so many of his goals.
Yes. That said, though, they are up against Sheffield United, so who love a hiding every single game week. So, look, I think he's on fire. But, yeah, he's a midfielder. He'd probably be in everyone's sides, I reckon, if he was a forward, a 5.5 forward this season. Because,
you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon he would. He'd find his way in everyone's side because he's that great – that price where you can just stretch your third forward to a decent player, and then you got more of
but
that.
But you're happy
enabling.
To bench him.
But yeah, you're happy to bench him
in certain weeks, and just
and
play
you'd end
him
up
like...
benching all these points every week.
That's right, because you only play him against like Sheffield United.
Sheffield United.
Yeah, no, it's a great pick. It's a great punt, and again, I suppose another option. If you've got Neto, you can sort of move straight across to Hwang Hee-chan, given that, as you say, he is a midfielder in FPL. So, yeah, a couple of good 5.5 million options this week for our punts.
There we go. But now it's time for O Captain, My Captain. Top three captaincy picks for you heading into game week 11 with, a lot of juicy fixtures.
Yeah, I think this week it's really just about two players. It's my number one pick is Haaland, home to Bournemouth. I just don't think you can go past him. And then obviously number two is Salah, away to Luton. Once again, like, just massive haul potential. And I think it really drops away after that. So my number three option, I've put Alvarez, also obviously home to Bournemouth. But I just think Haaland and Salah are just so far ahead of any other option you can come up with. There's almost no point in having a third pick this week.
I've probably got Haaland just pipping it over Salah. So, yeah, City at home against a Bournemouth side trying to play attacking football. Yeah, that could be a cricket school there. But, yeah, and, yeah, Salah coming second. And maybe third I'd go with Darwin Nunez. So just quietly going about his business and balling every week and, assisting and scoring. And I mean, he should have had a bucket load of goals the other day too. So,
And he really does combine so well with Salah. They've got a really good relationship with each other.
And I think, with the Luis Diaz situation, we're still not sure if he'll be, in the right, frame to play this week. So I mean, that might see Jota out wide and see Darwin stay in that side. So
I can't imagine us seeing Diaz again until that situation with his parents is completely resolved.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that's resolved sooner for his sake and his family. But now before we finish up, it is time for the FPL Signet podcast league ladder, and we have a new leader at the top, and it is someone friend of the show and one of your FPL Sydney cohorts over there. So a big tip of the hat to Ashley Hubin with his side Kane in Diaz. So 682 points, had a bumper 76 points this game week two. He took a bit of a hit, there, also played his bench boost, so only just noticed that.
Yeah, he's doing a few he's not shy to do a few kind of out of the box moves this year. Like I think he's got Trent in his team.
Yep, he's got
one of
Trent.
One of the only people I know that's got Trent, and he's
and Douglas Luiz.
and Douglas Luiz, and he's pulled the bench boost. Like,
mm.
good on him. Good on him. He's it's working for him because he's absolutely smashing it the last few weeks.
So his bench boost was, yeah, Turner, which, yeah, unfortunate there. Ferguson from Brighton, so 8 points there, which was great. Pedro Porro, who we talked about, was only minutes away from banking a monster score there. And, yeah, Charlie Taylor from Burnley. So
oh, there you go.
6 points.
So what did his bench boost add up to?
Okay, I've got to do the maths. On the fly, so 10, 16, 17, 18 points.
Okay, that's all you need. Like, I think most people say 15 to 20 is a good bench boost, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So
I think he's been vindicated.
Yeah, I mean, when your third bench option, Charlie Taylor's banging in, you know, volleys, that's...
He knew
your
that
time.
Was going to happen. He predicted it.
But Lusty has in his side as well. So, tremendous effort there, Ashley. So, yeah, great to see you at the top. So, coming second is Megan Whitcop with her side, multiple scorgies. And, Gavin Pullbrook, let me say that correctly, with their side, Snorlax FC, coming in third there. But yeah, manager of the game week was Pam Bamber with their side, Havertz Sumrise. So 96 points. We got 60. Oof. They got 96 points.
Yeah, we're not very good at this thing.
Nah, we're really bad at FPL. But in Pam's side, so Anana, 2 points. It's not much. Vardiol, 6 points. Matty Cash, 5. Saliba with 7. So luckily didn't have Gabriel, who... is trolling everyone in the FPL world this season. But Raheem Sterling, 2 points. Mbeumo, 13. Diaby, 13. Mo Salah, 8 points. Madison, 6. Johan Vissa with 2 points. And captaining the Nordic Meat Shield for the 32 points. So, there's your 96.
Captain Haaland, it seems so obvious now.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Anyway.
So, something for us to consider maybe heading into game week.
I might think about doing that this week.
Yeah, why not? It seems to be a good idea. But before we finish up the show, remember you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FPL Signet, and make sure you give Andrew a follow at FPL _pointbreak on the X. And yeah, hit those like and subscribes and retweets and comments. So it really does make our day. But before we finish up this episode, anything you'd like to add?
No, actually, not at all.
You know what? I didn't ask you about your transfers heading into game week 11.
Oh, what I'm planning coming up.
Yeah. Before we finish up, we need to know.
Yeah. Fair. I think
we can copy.
Yeah, that's right. I think I've only got one free transfer this week. I think I am going to use it. I'm thinking maybe like Dan Burn to Simicast. I think it's time to jump aboard the Simicast train. So that's what I'm leaning towards this early stage. I was kind of tempted because I was on tilt on Monday, the same as you. I was kind of tempted to go Simicast early.
Yeah.
But then I did remember how many injuries we had the last time there was a round of League Cup games. And I thought if I get a different midweek injury, then I might have to reassess. So I did hold off and I absorbed the 0.1, but that's all right. Hopefully I don't get any injuries and I can go through with that plan.
You're a sensible man. I wasn't that sensible.
No, I mean, I'm not always. I was this week.
Well done. But that just about wraps up the show. So good luck to everyone out there for game week 11, and let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.
See ya.